The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why does the Apostle Paul, in a couple of places, refer to the gospel as my gospel? Hey, we welcome you to Grace in Focus, the Grace Evangelical Society's podcast, radio broadcast. We are very happy that you are spending these few minutes with us, as today Bob Wilkin and Steve Elkins are answering these questions. Our website is faithalone.org. By the way, the Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary that will be free for all who maintain at least a B average. You can earn an MDiv degree. For more information and to register, go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including how to contact us for more about the seminary. That's faithalone.org. And find seminary in our navigation menu. I'll repeat this at the end of today's discussion, which starts right now. Here are Steve Elkins and Bob Wilkin.
Steve, it's good to have you back, and I've got a question for you from G.A., and G.A.'s question is a bit odd, but I read it to you beforehand, and you said you think you understand it. He said, I'm struggling to understand the saving message because I see it as circular. Can you please clarify it? Is the saving message circular? What does he mean by circular?
Well, I wish that he would have specified, because we know what circular reasoning is. I think what he might be
referring to. Okay, what is circular reasoning?
Is when you state something and you might restate it in different words, but you're still saying the same thing, but you haven't done anything to prove it or not. You're just restating it, basically.
Okay.
I actually interacted with this fellow on email with some questions, and I probably said to him something along the lines of, we get eternal life by believing Jesus, that all we have to do is believe him for the promise of eternal life. And the question comes up, well, it sounds like we're saying have faith in our faith. We're not saying that. We're saying that faith or belief is part of the gospel promise. So we're believing Jesus for his promise that whoever believes him for the promise of eternal life has eternal life. So in a degree, I guess you could say there is some faith in our faith, but not really. It's faith in the promise of Christ. That's what we're putting our faith in.
Okay, yeah, and let me comment on that part about faith in our faith. I would argue we have faith in faith. It has nothing to do with whose faith it is, my faith, your faith, somebody else's faith. The point is, faith in the giver for the gift always results in receiving the irrevocable gift. So do we have faith in faith? Yes. Do we have faith in our faith? There's nothing special about our faith. So it's not faith in our faith. It's faith in faith. And the point is, it's by faith alone.
Excellent. And I was given a question yesterday that I responded to where the person says, do I get eternal life by believing that Jesus, quote, is the giver of eternal life? Well, if we understand that this fellow means he's the giver of eternal life to the one who believes him for it, fine.
I like that last part.
But if we were to say, do we get eternal life by believing that Jesus is the giver of eternal life? That alone doesn't tell us much, because he might give eternal life to the person who works for it.
Yes.
To the person who keeps the law for it, or what? We don't know.
Or he might give it to everybody.
Exactly.
It might be universalism.
Exactly. And I mentioned that to the person. So I said to this person, Jim, or whatever his name was, yes, Jim, we need to be specific in what we're talking about here. The promise is we get eternal life by believing Jesus' promise for eternal life.
You know, I remember, I think it was about 1988 or 89, we played golf down at Tennyson together. As we were playing, Steve brought up John 11:25-27, and said he'd been talking to Zane about this extensively, and he said, I think this is the pivotal passage in the New Testament on the saving message. And I was like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I said, of course, I love that passage, but why do you say it's the pivotal passage? And
well,
tell us what you said.
It was an evening at the Lord's Supper meeting at Victor Street, and Zane said there are three implications of this. One, I need to believe Jesus, that all I have to do is believe him, and I get eternal life.
Okay, let's quote John 11:25 and 26.
It says, Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Right.
And Martha says, uncorrectedly, yes, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. she basically is quoting John's purpose statement at the end, and Jesus doesn't correct her. So what does it mean in John's theology or writings to believe that Jesus is the Christ? And we would say it means to believe that he's the one that guarantees eternal life to whomever believes him for it, period.
And I love the fact that you corrected the person you were doing with the email, that it's not simply believing that Jesus is the giver of everlasting life. It's believing that he's the giver of everlasting life to all who believe in him for that gift.
Exactly. It really is. Otherwise, you could be totally screwed up and think Jesus, as you said, gives everlasting life to anybody or whoever works for it or whatever.
Right. I mean, ultimately, everybody in Christianity believes that Jesus is the giver of everlasting life.
Right.
It's just a question of who does he give it to? I mean, Mormons believe that, don't they?
Yeah.
Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah.
Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, every flavor of Protestant?
Yeah.
I've never met a person in Christianity that didn't believe that Jesus was the giver of everlasting life. Now, there's a second question. When does he give it? Most of them say after a life of obedience.
Yeah.
But the point is, they still believe he's the giver of everlasting life.
That's right. And, of course, the gospel statement all through John is whoever believes has right now everlasting life. Bob, I remember that day we played golf back in the 80s. It was on number 2 at Tennyson East and maybe 17 on the East course, too. But I remember so excitedly sharing with you what I'd heard from Zane at the Lord's Supper meeting. And he said there's three implications. First, believe him that all I have to do is believe him for the promise of eternal life. Secondly, believe him that what I get when I believe him is eternal, everlasting life. It can't stop or be taken away. I need to understand that. It's in all of the Johannine verses.
Right.
Thirdly, I need to believe him that when I believe, as you just brought out, I have everlasting life. All of the verses say whoever believes in me has right now everlasting life. I don't need to wait to see if I persevere, produce fruit, have works, whatever.
Amen. Okay, so GA, I hope that's helpful. I think the saving message is not circular. The saving message makes all kind of sense. And by the way, when Steve uses the word Johannine, that means the writings of the Apostle John, especially the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation. Those are the Johannine writings. And by the way, when we talk about the Johannine saving message, that's Jesus' saving message, because he's just quoting Jesus.
And Bob, that leads to another question that we have right here. A fellow named Jim writes, Paul, in the New Testament letters, cites the word gospel 12 times. I don't know where he got 12, because there's actually about 61 or 62 times that he mentions the word euangelion, gospel. Three of those say my gospel. It's actually a few more than that, because he says the gospel that I preach and other references like that as well. Why is Paul referring to the gospel on those three occasions as my gospel? Isn't this the good news of Jesus? How could he ever say my gospel about something that belongs to Jesus?
Yeah, I wish I had all the information in front of me. In fact, I'm rewriting the chapter I did in the 10 Most Misunderstood Words, the chapter on gospel. I wanted to bring out more the gospel as used in the book of Galatians or the letter to the Galatians, because I think there it is justification by faith alone. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that Jim's talking about my gospel when Paul says that. But what he doesn't point out is Paul talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he also talks about the gospel of God. So Paul says that the message that he proclaims is his message, it's Jesus' message, and it's the Father's message. Remember, Jesus said, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me— to give those words, has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. So that it's accurate to say that the message that Paul preached, and the message that all the apostles preached, and the message that every faithful Christian preaches, is not only our message, but it's a message that comes from the one who sent us, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his message came from the one who sent him, God the Father.
And Paul's very emphatic about that in the book of Galatians when he says, this isn't my gospel like I came up with it. I got it straight from revelation from the Lord Jesus himself.
What is that? 1:11, I think? 1:10, 1:11?
Yeah, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. And so there's a reason for saying my gospel. This is my gospel in contrast to the false gospels that are out there. He's just mentioned in Galatians 1:6 and following when he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ, these are believers, to a different gospel. And he warns them that there are false gospels out there.
And one of the things I'm doing in my rewrite of the chapter on gospel. As I'm saying, I agree with you in Galatians that I think he's using in Galatians the term gospel to refer to the saving message of justification by faith alone apart from works. However, in the rest of his epistles, the primary reference to gospel, when Paul talks about gospel, he's talking about his ministry, his overall ministry, both evangelism and discipleship. In fact, one of the ways people get really messed up is in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Paul talks about his gospel there of Jesus died and was buried and he rose and all according to Scripture. And they say, well, that's his saving message. No, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11, this is Paul's sanctifying message.
This message was so special to Paul, no wonder he said, my gospel. For instance, he goes on and says in Galatians 1, I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but it came through revelation, direct revelation from Jesus Christ. It was a term of endearment too. This is my gospel, like we might say, this isn't just the Savior, he's my Savior.
That's so true. Wouldn't there be some sense in which that's true of many of us in the Christian life? My example was, I was a legalist, I was a Judaizer, I was a work salvation person that looked down on everybody else and thought they were all beneath me until I came to faith at age 20. Isn't it amazing that he would take somebody like me and allow me to become a proclaimer of the free gift? And that's true of many of us, isn't it?
It sure is. And I don't think Paul's saying it all in any kind of arrogance. You hear a preacher sometimes say, my Bible says,
right.
You know, no, I don't think he's saying it like that. I think he's amazed that the Lord would give him the gospel.
Amen. Well, thanks y'all for listening. And remember, keep grace
in focus.
Amen.
The Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary where you can take specific classes or earn an MDiv degree. First year Greek starts week of August the 6th. Many other classes start the week of August the 20th. Go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including professors, application deadlines, class schedules, and how to contact us for more about the seminary. If you're interested, we need to hear from you soon. For information or to register, that's faithalone.org and find seminary in our navigation menu. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition, we have all kinds of free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, can supporters of homosexuals and of abortionists be saved? Please join us. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.